A follower of Jesus was being persecuted in a prison in Southeast Asia. Al Henson was watching through binoculars from a distance.
I watched them kick him. I watched them push him around. And my heart just broke because I could do nothing other than pray. And I said, "Now, God, what do I do with this?"
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Lies Women Believe, for July 29th, 2019. Before we start, just know that today's discussion of persecution could be disturbing for younger listeners. Here's Nancy.
Well, the conversation we're having today here on Revive Our Hearts actually wasn't planned very far in advance. It was a surprise to me and a delightful surprise, and I am so thankful to be back with my longtime friends, Al and Susan Henson, from Nashville, Tennessee, and all around the world. And as we talk, you're going to understand that better. So, Al and Susan, wow, welcome to Revive Our Hearts. I think this is your first time in this studio down here, though we've heard from you on the broadcast before. But thank you for being willing to share your story.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
And I'm thinking back to the early days, if I could just reminisce for a moment, and how the Lord knit our hearts together when we were with I was with Life Action Ministries, which is the parent ministry of Revive Our Hearts, and we did a meeting in the church you were pastoring at the time, Al, Lighthouse Baptist Church in Antioch, Tennessee.
Yeah, we've changed the name now to Lighthouse Christian Fellowship, but Dale and I, the founder of Life Action Ministries here, we were very close friends, mutual mentors, we might say, of each other, a deep passion for Christ and a passion for a movement of God, a revival. And around those passions that were God's passions, our hearts were knit together to grow and to seek the Lord together.
And Susan, we connected in that early meeting there, and it was in one of the ladies' prayer times that the Lord really did a fresh work in your own heart of believing God for revival, and that's a passion that's never left you.
Exactly. That day I'll never forget because you had been speaking that whole week with our ladies on out of the Song of Solomon. And just that intimate relationship with the Lord. And I saw such a passion in your heart for the Lord that it made me hungry to want to go deeper with God. And I just remember us praying together, kneeling side by side and just crying out to God, "I want to know you. I want to intimately know you, not just about you. And God, I want to see your glory." And God knitted our hearts together in prayer that day. And you've been a mentor to my life ever since. So thank you for your investment, not only in my life, but of women around the world now.
Well, we've walked through a lot of life together. And you know that whole burden for the world, which God has put in your hearts, burden for the least of these. We're going to talk about that over the next few days. Burden for the things that burden God's heart. It really starts on our knees in His presence. And it's very personal. It's like, you know, "Lord, start a revival and start it in me."
Yes.
And until we have that longing for more of Him and living in His presence, we're not going to know what's on His heart to do through us in others' lives.
Yeah, it's when we're in His presence, Nancy, that and we draw near Him that He begins to share His thoughts with us.
Yeah.
He shares His feelings with us. He shares His heart with us. And actually, that's what happened in Isaiah 6. Isaiah was in the presence of God. And there he heard the burden of God after his own brokenness for Israel. And Isaiah cried out, "Here am I, send me." And that really is a lot of the testimony in my life. People ask, are you called to do this or called to do that? I said, no, I just got near the heart of God and found out He was burdened. And I just said, "Lord, here am I.
Yeah,
I volunteer. Send me." And a part of Compassion and Hope and its work has been to the least of these, part of that being the persecuted church, the second part of that being those orphans and human trafficking and labor trafficking and child brides and sexually abused children that we've been able to rescue into our homes of hope.
And back in those days when we first met, I don't think you could have ever imagined the places the Lord would take you, the stories He would show you of what He's doing, and the ways He would use you around the world. You had our physical issues, and a lot of people would have just said, you know, "I can be excused for just, you know, taking a seat and taking it easy," and not you. You spend a third of the year in other countries. We're going to talk about that. And let me just back up and say that kind of the context for this conversation is that when people give to support Revive Our Hearts, of course, that goes to support the various outreaches of the ministry, the events, the publishing, the broadcasting. But a certain amount of what comes in, we designate that toward what we call our missions account that supports God working in the hearts of women and girls and families around the world.
Yes.
And one of the ministries that Revive Our Hearts has supported for many years is the one he led you to start called Compassionate Hope. And I hope our listeners will get to learn more about this ministry. There's a link to your website on our website at reviveourhearts.com. So more information than we're going to have time to talk about in these few broadcasts. But what God is doing through that ministry is something that a lot of people like myself wish we could be more connected to, could know more about, could be making a difference. And so when people support this ministry, part of what they give is helping in ways
Amen.
That maybe we
yeah.
can't do personally,
yeah,
but always you're doing
say,
it.
In the kingdom, there is no I. There's only a we.
Yeah.
And I can't do what we do without Nancy and the ministry of Revive Our Hearts and those that pray and give.
Right.
As a part of that, it's a we. And only in eternity will we really understand how God really uses us together
yeah.
to accomplish the work of the Lord.
And my hope through these conversations this week is that the Lord will lay on the hearts of people to pray, to give, to be encouraged by what God is doing through the small resources that we're able to give through Revive Our Hearts, and that there'll be just like this whole great cloud of prayer ascending
yes.
to the Lord on behalf
yeah,
of these
yes.
that you're serving so mm. hands-on. And it's a great privilege for us to have just a little itty-bitty part of what the Lord is doing through you. And a lot of this started, we won't go into all the details, but back in the late 70s, when a host of refugees fleeing war from countries we're not going to name in this program, but in Southeast Asia, a lot of them came to the United States and were relocated in Nashville, Tennessee. And you became aware of this, and it became a mission field to the world right in your own backyard.
Yeah, God brought the nations to us, and we started expressing the love of God in their human need, which was they were strangers in a strange country. They needed clothes, they needed food, they needed shelter, they needed a place to stay. They needed to learn this language. They needed to know how to work and to find a job here. And in the middle of that, as we let them taste of the love of God and see the love of God, we were able to share with them the love of God. And that's, I began to hear their stories of the persecution and suffering they had been through from the country they had come from. And God touched my heart. I fell in love with this group of people and decided that I would begin to travel over into that country. And that's how this ministry was birthed, by just simply washing the feet. I've often looked back over I've been in ministry now 42 years. Almost every significant thing that God has ever done in and through my life, it started somewhere where I washed the feet of someone who could give me nothing back. I just mm-hmm. love them with the love of God. And out of that, God birthed something significant.
Oh, that's what Jesus did for us, right?
Yes.
When we had nothing yeah. to offer him,
yes.
he came and loved us, gave himself for us. And you started first by ministering to this people group there in Nashville. And then some began to come to the Lord. How many churches did you say have been planted among that people group in Nashville now?
There are 13 churches now in Nashville. And that one particular people group, actually on a Sunday now, 30-something years later, every Sunday we have seven different churches of seven different languages meeting on our campus.
Wow.
And I think one of the significant things as well is as these children grew up through the ministry there, that we really adopted some of them and brought them into our lives, but we also helped raise funds for them to go through our Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got that Christian education, but some of them were so burdened for the family that they had left behind,
mm-hmm.
and they would just beg for us to pray for their families back home. And so that really also was a part of just us having that burden to take the gospel back to their people group.
which God began to give you opportunity to do. And you gave me a history lesson over lunch just a little bit ago, and I wish we had a lot more time to unpack some of this. But as you got into that country and the neighboring countries, people came to know the Lord. You found believers who were being persecuted for their faith.
Yes.
Because there was, well, what was the because?
Yes, Nancy, one of the things that's important for me to say is that when we think about the work of Compassion Hope on the other side of the world, it's God's kingdom, and God is building his kingdom through the nationals, not through us.
Right.
And the reason why this work has spread from the thousands to the 10,000s is because we're thinking and functioning like a spiritual organism.
Hmm.
Not like an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told them on the other side of the world, I will never take a title, I'll never take a position, nor a place of authority. God saw you, and God wants to build his kingdom through you. He knew you needed a servant. And Al and Susan and Compassionate Hope feels called of God to come and serve you.
Mm-hmm.
But as I begin to go, Nancy, if I might share the burden about the persecuted church, I was there a year or so, began to build loving relationships. And we were driving one day, and they were talking about that over the hill was one of the prisons. And they were talking about one of our brothers that was in the prison, and I'd heard them talk about prison and some of the stories and the horror stories. And I asked, is there any way I could see? And so they stopped and said, we think we could walk to the top of the hill, and with binoculars, you could actually see. And I'm sure God orchestrated all of this, as God does,
mm-hmm.
because he wanted to put something deeply into my heart. So we went to the top of the hill, got the binoculars, and I saw. And I heard about these boxes that they had that would have something like just a wooden bench in it, and that the men would stay in these hot boxes all day in their underwear, not even allowed out to relieve themselves. And it just happened that as I was looking, one of the boxes opened, and out came a brother that I had helped equip and train. And, you know, I watched them kick him. I watched them push him around, and it was just so many stories around this. And my heart just broke because I could do nothing other than pray. And so I came back, and we drove a little ways to get away, and I finally asked, just stop. And I went to the woods alone, and I said, now, God, what do I do with this? What I do? You've just shared with me your heart for the persecuted. And the Lord said, I want you to go back to America. And this is what started this decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to America and just cry out to the churches, help my hurting body.
Yeah.
Help my suffering body. And so I felt that God has wanted me to be a voice, that his body, the body of Christ, in places in the world, as we know a lot about, more about because of media and all that, is suffering. And we need to stop and think about this and consider it and ponder it and remember and to pray and to love those and to do what we can do to care for the suffering body of Christ. And I remember, I think I was here several decades ago, and I shared that story, and I remember you. When I finished, you were weeping. You got out of your chair, Nancy, and you just prayed, and that's when our friendship and love had been decades before that, but that's when you got up and just said, we want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Nancy DeMoss and Revive Our Hearts became an intimate partner with us in reaching to the persecuted body of Christ in this country.
And you know what helps so much, I think? What burdened your heart in that moment was putting a face to the problem.
Yes.
And that's what has challenged us to get involved. And so I want our listeners to meet, not literally meet, but to hear about one woman that has been supported by Revive Our Hearts for years now. We're calling her Sister M. And Susan, just and Al together, if you could tell the story about Sister M and her experience as a widow of a martyr, so that our listeners can know this is someone, this is a real face, this is a real person that God is using and allowing us to partner with and have a place in her life. So how did you first meet this family? And tell us a little bit about that story.
Well, Sister M's husband was a key leader in that province and had multiple churches. And Al had discipled him and mentored him. And at Christmas time is usually when they have their festivals, and so they would go in to these festivals and share the gospel. They would use this as an outreach ministry. And this brother would go and travel from the church to church, being able to share the gospel. And with hearing from Sister M's side of the story, she shared with us that in the beginning, she was very resentful of her husband being gone all the time. And here, once again, he didn't show up at home. And here it is almost Christmas time, and he's 3 days late coming back home. So she starts making phone calls and starts trying to track him down and cannot find him. So she gets on her motorcycle and heads on the way to try to backtrack, you might say. And she came up on the scene where the police were, and there she discovered that they found her husband's body. And he had been run over and knocked down into a ravine. And the people who had really caused this to take place had taken a rock and had beaten his head in. There was still blood on the rock. They had stabbed him multiple times, but one of the things they did is that they had almost severed his neck off all the way 360 around, and nothing was holding on but his spinal cord. But there was also a secret word that had been released during that time, mainly for Christians, was the tiger that got him will get you.
So this was a threat to all Christians.
Yes. So at that point, she became, you know, a widow with 3 children to take care of. And it was during that time that she fasted for 20 days and did not cry, did not weep. And she had never met Al. Only her husband had been in contact with Al, because that was undercover, you might say. But the one thing that she had said was, the man that loved my husband and served my husband, he will come and he will be here. And she waited until the very day that Al walked into that room, and she got up and she fell at his feet and just wept and wept. And she had believed God, that God would bring help along for her as well.
And I remember, you know, her dad caught me outside, and he was the one who told the story about that she had fasted and believing that I would come. And I had just sensed an urgency to go. Mm. We had to actually meet several hundred kilometers away, so it would be a safe place for her. But I remember looking in her face after she had wept in my shoulder. I knew you would come. And I looked at her and I said, when you look at me, Sister M, you see one person, but I represent thousands.
Yeah.
You are not alone. Mm. And I know you've lost your husband, and I know you're thinking in your mind, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with these 20-something churches that my husband has planted? What am I going to do? And it's 4 children, not 3 children, but 4 children. Mm. But we promised your husband. We knew his life was in danger, as we've promised many, that if something happens to them, imprisoned or they're martyred, we will make sure that their wives and their children are taken care of. And it was about that time of that later, a year or so, that we were telling the story that Revive Our Hearts stepped in. And this is the ministry then, Nancy, that, and since that time, this widow has matured in the Lord. She no longer resented. She became passionate for the kingdom of God and rose up in courage. And many times I've sat with her, and she said, Brother Al, I'm in danger. But now there are 67 churches And just a year and a half ago, here's this widow. Her four children are now grown, and you'd think she would be wanting to take a break. But she came to me, and they call me Papa Al now. That she said, Papa Al, my children are gone. Is it okay if I start taking children in my home? Because throughout our province are children of persecution, or children that have been abandoned, or children that we find that are being abused. And so the funds that Revive Our Hearts has put in over the years has helped take care of this widow and these churches and her children, and now the Home of Hope that she opened up 18 months ago. It's just a beautiful story of the power of the gospel. And
we've actually got a photo on our website of Sister M and some of the children who are in that Home of Hope and one of her sons. And if you go to reviveourhearts.com, you can see that photo. And I hope you'll look at it and maybe print it out, just to have it as a reminder to pray for this widow, because month after month, we're able to support the work that God is using her to do there. That what was a hopeless situation, it seemed like the enemy had won.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The enemy is being, Jesus is triumphing.
You know, you've heard that always the church grows in persecution, and so it is true. That I must just quickly say this. 3 or 4 years ago, Sister M found out who the man was that had martyred her husband. And she found out he was in prison now. And she went to the prison.
Wow.
And looked her in the face and said, you're forgiven. And then shared the gospel of Christ with him. And I'm thinking, a human couldn't do this.
Right.
It took God's Spirit.
Right.
And the love of God and the grace and mercy of God in her heart for her to have not only the courage, but the forgiveness and the love for the man that had killed her husband to go share the gospel with him.
Whew. Yeah.
These are the people, Nancy, I have the joy of hanging with, you know, and serving the Lord with. That I've learned so much about love and loving God and sacrifice that has shaken even me out of my religion, American religion, and comfortableness as I walk with these saints that are willing. So, and they're not bitter.
Mm.
I don't want anyone to think these people are bitter. Sometimes they'll talk about being in prison and they'll start laughing. The joy that they had to witness or to share Christ or what God has done as a consequence of their time in prison. It's not the atmosphere that you would think it would be. It's one of peace and joy and happiness and humility that they're able to serve the Lord in this way.
So it's not just us giving, you or Susan or Revive Our Hearts giving to minister to these, the least of these, those in prison, those who are martyred. They're giving to us.
Yes.
They're teaching us the heart and the ways of God, and we need them. They don't just need us.
I often say that,
Nancy.
We need them more than they need us.
Yeah. Well, the Lord's using Compassionate Hope and Al and Susan Henson to do a lot more. You mentioned Homes of Hope, and some are wondering, what are those Homes of Hope? It's just a beautiful, shining work the Lord is doing in Southeast Asia. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts.
Nancy DeMoss-Wagelmuth will be right back to pray. She's been talking with Al and Susan Henson about the hope God is offering hurting people in Southeast Asia. The suffering you're going through may look a lot different than the kind of trials we heard about today, but your pain and your tough circumstances are still real. No matter what type of trial you're facing, we'd like to help you by sending you a new Bible study called Esther, Trusting God's Plan. The team at Revive Our Hearts wrote this study based on Nancy's teaching of Esther. This would be a perfect study for your devotions over the next 6 weeks, especially if life doesn't make sense and you're learning to trust God's plan. We'd like to send you a copy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. Look for the study, Esther, Trusting God's Plan, when you donate online at reviveourhearts.com
or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, we'll hear about some heroes of the faith in Southeast Asia who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Here's Nancy to close our time in prayer.
Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through these servants, through this ministry. Thank you for Sister M. We don't know what her needs are today, but we know that she needs you. She needs your grace. Thank you for the way you've triumphed in her life over bitterness, over resentment, and how you are using her now in these multiplied churches and to be a witness and a testimony and an example in the Christian community there in her province, and for the children that she's taken into her home. We pray, Lord, that you would bless her today, that you would encourage her, that you would strengthen her in grace, that you would meet her every need. And thank you for, in this moment, letting us have a chance to lift her up to your throne, as well as these others that are suffering, that are imprisoned, the widows and children of martyrs. And Lord, one day we will meet them in heaven.
Amen.
And we will together worship before the Lamb, before the throne, and we will say thank you for letting us partner together in bringing hope and the gospel and grace into these lives as they have into ours. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth wants to help you connect with how God is at work around the world. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.